Chris DeJess and Camo X. Wheels and I agree on one thing. This is the best AC/DC song ever.
I think so.
Best.
I think so. I mean, they have a lot of great ones. This is my favorite.
We played this in the band forever, and I loved playing this song.
Yeah.
So great. So it's much fun.
It's got a little bit of that old school vibe just in the guitar. Just the repetitive. It's got that kind of vibe, like a little blues thing to it. And it just, but it's
just a
killer.
Jam. This is a jam.
Yep.
How's everybody? Rachel, good over there?
Yeah, just getting caught up.
I gotcha. I feel you.
Rachel only has to do like 27 things when she comes in the studio.
All good. I know.
Dave and I come in, we sit down, plug in our headphones. All right, let's go.
We're streaming to the KMOX socials today too, so it just took an extra second to make sure I was doing all of that right. Stream is up. I just hit the microphone with my lip. I hate when that happens.
It can hurt.
Yeah, well, it's also just gross.
Yeah. Germs.
Yeah, and I just put chapstick on, so it's like absorbent.
Well, the next person that does that can get a little chapstick then.
I guess so.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm trying to decide what part of that bothered me.
Well, I mean, the things are so close to your mouth. At some point, you are going to bump it here and there.
Yeah, I really don't often, but when it did, it's like, ugh.
You're like, ugh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we really don't give a lot of time.
Well, yeah, don't think about it.
To the fact that we're just like, you know.
Breathing in in the exact space of, I mean, like, you and Chris Ronji are like basically breathing.
Making out,
you're basically kissing. You're kissing. That's what you're doing.
Fine. Cut out the middleman.
Well, you're using the middleman. It's the microphone.
Hey, I don't understand this story about the firefighter who pooped in a box. Does anyone here understand it?
Well, what's not to understand? I mean, he was in the food service area of the airport.
Are there details and minutiae?
There's a video.
Perfect.
Of what appears to be him holding a box up to his butt and pooping in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a terribly large box.
Okay.
Well, it was in the food service area.
It looks like it's a Sunkissed tuna box. I could be wrong, but I think that's what the box says on the side here.
It's even grosser. Wait, food service area of what?
Yeah, you wanted to make it smell better, am I right? Ugh, yucky. Food service area of the airport. The area that he was pooping in was run by the company that runs all of the like food service kiosks in the airport, which makes it a little more interesting, I think, to the story. Yeah. Now, to clarify, it has nothing to do with that company. They have nothing to do with it.
Right.
They are as much victims here as anybody else in this weird happening. So it's not like they were like, hey, you want to do us a favor? Like, they have nothing to do with it. It just happened to be where he did it.
Okay.
And that's about all we know.
Story? Do we know?
Don't know his story.
They haven't identified the firefighter because he has not yet been criminally charged.
Okay.
Yeah,
but authorities know who the firefighter are.
I mean, we've seen his picture. Yeah.
He has been with the department since 1995.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. Like, this isn't some like fly-by-night guy that they hired him and then they're like, well, he turned out to be a little weird.
Right.
Like, he's been doing this for 31 years.
You think so?
I mean, like, he's been with the department. I don't know if he's been doing this for 31 years, but he's been with the department for 31 years.
Well, I'm talking about doing that for 31 years because if he's been doing this since 1995, he's like my age-ish.
Mm.
You don't just one day in your late 50s start pooping in boxes.
Yeah. As for a motive, we don't have one.
He put it in the fridge, is what I understand.
That part I had not
heard. Wait, what? Yeah, that's why I understood.
Okay.
That's where he put the box.
I'm not. I haven't seen that anymore.
I haven't heard that either, but I believe it. You know why? Because it makes no sense, and no part of the story makes any sense.
No. I mean, you're in an airport that has how many bathrooms if you need them?
Yeah.
Like, they're literally everywhere, and you're a firefighter, which means you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something really bad. Geez. It was in Terminal 2.
Is that Southwest?
I don't know. Just two.
Oh, gotcha. El Duque.
I don't know why that hit me as funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a funny thing, though.
No.
That has to get you fired, right?
I don't believe he's with the department anymore.
I know he's on leave, I think, but he's been removed from duties. He's on administrative leave, according to the last story. Yeah, but I mean, like, eventually, I know he's going to get his due process. That's fine. I got no issue with that. But that has to be you're fired, right?
I think that's poo process. You know, we've all been there. We've all had to poop at a very inopportune time. And it's probably even worse for a firefighter.
Can be.
But just mess your pants.
Yeah.
Just mess your pants.
Yeah.
And then go where you need to go and unmess your pants.
But for all the things, the solution can't be poop where the food is.
Yeah, not your best
option. Like, I mean, like, if this was in, like, a maintenance closet and it was just cleaning crap and all that, sorry, then it's a little, to me, it's barely a story. It's bad, but it's not like, oh, they had to throw away all this food and you may have exposed human beings to things they shouldn't be exposed to.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's like it just hit him and he had to go, because when you think about it, why was he back there?
It's a fair point. Why was he back in the food? I mean, what duties would a fireman have with the food?
And look, I'm just asking questions.
At least one, it seems.
I'm just asking questions. When I first heard duty.
Sorry, Rachel.
It's okay.
Sorry, that's my fault.
No, it's okay. You guys get to make your little points.
We're listening.
No, you're not. It's okay.
Make our childish little jokes.
I was listening.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just mean, when I first heard the story, I wanted to believe, like, oh, maybe he just really had to go. Like,
right.
Maybe he wasn't able to take a break. But then you think about it, it's like, well, and again, I'm not claiming to know the answer. It's just thinking about it a little deeper. What was the firefighter doing in the food service area by himself in a position where he couldn't have just left and gone to a bathroom?
I mean, I've talked a lot about suffering from the call of the void, but damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're famously never too far away from a bathroom in an airport. That's kind of like, it's designed around that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would imagine that there are plenty of non-public restrooms for people who work at the airport as well.
Yes.
In the non-public areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would think that as well. Boy, there's lots of interesting stories today. Have you guys read much about Tulsi Gabbard and the cult?
Oh, yes.
No, I haven't seen anything about this.
This is pretty disturbing. I'm not going to
really
lie.
Really disturbing.
Yeah. And it was Washington Post, right?
Yes.
This wasn't just like some rando online site.
Yeah.
So what cult are we talking about? I haven't heard anything about this.
They name it.
Yeah,
what it's called.
Hare Krishna?
No. The guy that is the, quote, leader of this group, the one she called her guru, does, I think, practice a version of Hare Krishna. Like, it's some way connected to that. I don't even know if I said that correctly. I don't know if Hare Krishna is a name of a person or a name of the thing, but whatever. This apparently is very problematic in a lot of ways. Like, where does this group get their money? Why does this person have so much influence on a public person like her? And she called him her guru.
They evidently, this guy, Chris Butler, who's the guru, has so much sway and demands so much loyalty. I'm not making this part up. He cuts his toenails and they put it in their food. Yes.
Mm.
Okay.
Director of DNI, who ironically was probably better than the current director of the DNI, because at least she had a security clearance. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I'm just going to mark out Gabbard toenails.
How does this type of relationship and this type of influence get past all of the hurdles she would have had to have cleared to become a candidate, to be nominated for anything, to go through any hearings, to go through any vetting at all?
The government has never been less impressive, ever. The guy who stole the $40 million in gold as a CIA agent, who just put on his resume he was a fighter pilot, even though he had never been a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of thing getting through. Tony, we've just been gaslit. We've been lied to.
Yeah, the whole thing, like, you always hope there were, like, grown-ups in the room.
Yeah.
You know, just back behind the scenes, I'll keep everything. Apparently, there are none. Apparently, that was just all a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, yeah, wow. This story was bizarre. And again, it's super deep, super well reported. And I've seen other people who cover intelligence. You know, they cover the spy business, essentially. They cover this type of, and they're like, yeah, there's everybody. People around have known this stuff for a long time. Just the, for some reason, it never went mainstream.
And she was always weird. We've talked a lot about how weird she was, mm-hmm. and just how odd she was in that job, and her statements were odd, and her values were odd, and now it's kind of coming into focus. She's eating toenails.
Yeah, is it a big deal when the Washington Post story has 25,000 documents on this topic that they reviewed before publishing the story? I mean, that's not a small amount of evidence to go through.
Yeah. Wichita says, yeah, but have you seen the 5 arrests related to the reflecting pool? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, do we have the sound they sent you?
We do. I'm getting it in right this second.
I mean, we didn't have it.
No, we have it. That's just we have to put it on the screen so that we can play it.
So, Okay. The reflecting pool story to me, on face value, is like 50th in importance to any of us. And yet I am so intrigued by it because somehow Donald Trump has created his own perfect analogy to he as a person, to his administration, his job as a president, to take something that wasn't broken, to fix it for $1.7 million that's turned into $15-plus million. To a guy who looks like a rejected Spider-Man villain who is a convicted felon. So is the president, both convicted of fraud. And then they do a bad job. They did a bad job. Bad jobs happen. You know, Trump brags about how he's in construction. Bad jobs happen. And they did a bad job. And then they made it worse by pouring paint thinner, 12,000 gallons of it, into the reflecting pool with fairly fresh paint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all coming up, and it's breaking off in big chunks. And now Trump, in completely on-brand Trump, is saying that it's not that. The job was great. The chemicals were perfect. It's vandals. That someone got into the reflecting pool, which, as I understand it, is under 24/7 camera surveillance.
Yeah.
Cut a 350-foot slice down the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, even if that were true, that's causing the edges to just release from the pool and float. And now people have been arrested for literally putting their hands in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I can't believe that there is a single person out there who is smart and honest who believes this. You're missing one of them.
I mean, there are cameras, like you said, it's a public space. It's all around monuments and national. It is a national monument to a degree.
Sure.
It's always got cameras running. Where's the evidence of somebody doing these things?
He says we'll see them when they go to court against these people who he wants each to do 10 years.
Okay, so if you know who they are, why haven't they been arrested? If you have video evidence of people doing this and you know who they are, why haven't they been arrested?
Because he's lying.
Well didn't he say they have been arrested?
5 have.
Okay.
And the
People got arrested, though, for the putting their hand in the water. They don't to my knowledge, nobody's been accused of being the one that started it all.
No. No. But people are being investigated.
Aren't they being accused of vandalism of some kind because they're pulling the paint?
Yes. Yeah. And he called out several National Guard troops to look for people who are doing this, which now means that more people have been arrested for messing with the reflecting pool than in the Epstein files, and more National Guard have been called out to arrest people who are messing with the reflecting pool than were called out on January 6th.
Okay.
Make that make sense.
Well, like, none of it makes any sense, right? Because if you have two basic storylines here, right? One of the storylines is you were told that painting the pool a darker color would raise the temperature, which would make a risk higher for algae because they like the higher temperature, the warmer temperature. And there's been algae problems in the reflecting pool in the past.
Forever.
Right. This is not a new phenomenon. And when this was presented as an idea, there were people at the time that said, hey, it's going to make it hotter in there. Probably going to make some of these algae problems, make these things be a problem. And then your solution to that problem is to pour a chemical in there that peels paint because you just painted it. That's one story, which is pretty sensible, straightforward, yep, and trackable. And then there's another story that's just a fantasy.
Bat crap. Total bat crap, gaslighting, bull crap on behalf of the President of the United States. What a small man. What a tiny, infinitesimal man you are.
Well, he cannot admit that anything he decided could have gone wrong.
That's right.
And people were saying before they did it, hey, don't do that. Not a good idea. Here are the reasons why. It's not just cosmetic.
Kind of like Iran.
Hmm.
Crazy. Just crazy. We're such a laughingstock. Right, tell me about Serena Williams, what you think about it.
Okay, so Serena came back to play some doubles in a couple grass tournaments earlier this month, and everybody's excited. Well, now she's taken a wild card to play singles in Wimbledon.
What's that mean, wild card?
It basically means she's not
former
seated.
Champion.
She gets to skip the line and be in the tournament without having to prove herself, which you understand why.
Yeah.
Obviously, if Serena Williams wants that wild card, she's going to get that
wild
card.
It's like if Paul McCartney wants to play in a concert, you're like, oh,
sure.
Yeah, come on in.
Problem is, she's 44 years old. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been playing for years. Pretty much every single commentator I have seen speak on this is she's not ready for singles. So it just kind of feels like a waste. She might get past the first round, depending on who they put her against. She might get past the first round, but generally it just seems like a vanity thing for her. I am looking at it from a very jaded point of view, but I think she's doing it to just drum up publicity for this GLP-1 that she endorses because her husband owns the company.
Yeah.
That's the reason to get back in the spotlight and kind of do all of this, because why would you want to come back at 44 when you are the greatest of all time and then not really do anything? But I just wondered how you guys felt about that. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And do you feel that that's robbing a younger person with a better shot of their chance at
Kev,
Wimbledon?
We can do a Sweet 16 of sports stars who have come back.
When they shouldn't have.
When they shouldn't have.
Yeah, a lot of them are boxers. A
lot of boxers.
it seems like it happens in team sports too. I think Michael Jordan coming back to the Wizards kind of fits this. He was clearly past it. Now, he was still competitive. He wasn't but he wasn't what he was by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. I've seen players, attempt comebacks. I caught a couple bullpens for Jim Palmer when he was trying to make a comeback when he is already in the Hall of Fame. He was already in the Baseball Hall of Fame, which means he was already out of baseball at least 5 years. And tried to make a comeback, and he was doing that around when I was in college. So, I've seen it from other athletes, and I know that it's partly an ego thing. It's also just I don't know what else to do with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at some point, I think Rach makes a fair, I think this is a fair point, and it's something that I don't like about different other elements of sports, is anyone jumping a line because they're who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that with Michael Jordan going to play minor league baseball. I thought that was crappy.
Yes.
Here you are. You're one of the richest guys in the world. You're, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And in your downtime, you're going to take time away from people who are trying to make a real career out of baseball. What? Because of your ego? Because it makes you happy? Well, that's okay. But other people are trying to do this for a job, and they're better than you, but you're getting the opportunity because the owner of your basketball team also owns this baseball team and he likes you, so he did you a favor.
Yeah, and it just feels especially unfair because sports is supposed to be that one thing where it's like it is ability driven and you have to prove yourself and there's no free lunch, I guess, except for in cases like this. And again, as far as what Serena Williams has done for the sport of tennis, like, okay, yeah. If they're going to make this kind of accommodation for anyone, maybe it should be her. Yeah. But it's just... It's also just annoying because like a week ago, she's like, oh, I'm not ready for singles. I'm not going to do it. Then it's like, nah, I'm going to do it. Like, okay. I mean, I guess it's probably pretty disappointing if you were hoping for that wild card spot. It's like, eh, it's not going to happen.
On KMOX 133. Gonna take a moment to talk about something kind of personal, professional, but personal. And that's this. People keep saying that radio is dying, and we within radio, the people who have been here for a minute, are saying, yeah, but it's because we're telling everyone we're dying. We started telling everyone 10 years ago we were dying. And people are like, oh, I guess they're dead by now. But I had a few friends of mine lose their jobs today at another company who are music jocks. And I just have to tell you guys what's going on in radio if you haven't figured it out. Financial companies are buying stations and clusters, and they're paring them down to nothing. And they're putting out the most... saccharine, vanilla crap you've ever heard. Like, a country station in St. Louis is probably the exact country station that's in L.A. and the exact country station that's in Milwaukee and probably voiced by the same person. And to me, someone who grew up in a very dynamic time of creativity and in, like, this amazing time with radio and growing up with, you know, jocks on Casey that would pick their own music, and that's why you would listen to Radio Rich, or that's why you would listen to Joe Mama, because you liked their taste in music. We've gone from that personal touch to 200-song playlists with the most generic, boring, quote-unquote talent, sometimes AI, and... it's just sad. It's just sad. I don't own any radio companies, so I don't have the ability to hire my friends who lost their job. I'm just saying to you, the radio audience, if you're listening to me right now, you're obviously engaged in radio to some extent, and I'm going to toot our own horn a little bit. This show and my company, in that this is one of the few remaining radio shows where we can do anything we want. Now, if I went crazy and said a bunch of crazy stuff, Steve Moore is going to have a talk with me. Other than that, I can do anything I want. I can be funny. I can be controversial. I can talk about politics. I can talk about my personal issues. I can talk about anything. And we're really lucky to still have this. I'm lucky to still have this. You're lucky to still have this because it is disappearing so quickly. And if it keeps going this way, in a scant few years, we're going to have nothing but elevator music and elevator talent, and everyone good is going to be working at QT. Because there's just a general, I don't give a crap about your talent. I don't give a crap about how great you are, or if you're moving the creative ball forward, or you're entertaining your people. And you're engaging them. How cheap are you? How cheap can you work? I just think it's really sad.
I mean, it's not that different than some other businesses, right? Where they just become bigger and more generic as opposed to local and a little bit more unique and special and different. You know, I mean, imagine every restaurant was a chain.
Yeah,
that's what analogy. Some of those companies are becoming, where the entire every restaurant option is serving the same food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't have any local restaurants at any level, burger stands, steakhouses, seafood place, if you had not, if it was all just, and I'm, like, I'm not even knocking the change because I go to those chain restaurants, but if every restaurant was a chain, that would suck.
Just, and that's what
it
we have.
Just would.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I might be the guy that turns the light off when when I leave, you know? I don't know.
Yep. The problem is, well, there. I mean, there are a lot of issues with it, but I just, look, the bigger companies get, the less quality ends up being the focus. Just in any business.
Yeah.
It's not saying you don't care about quality. It's saying that it's not as big a focus. Right? There's a reason why a Lamborghini or a Ferrari cost what they do. Because they're handmade. Because they're very, everything's done by humans and it takes a long time to do. So it's really expensive. You know, I mean, like, obviously not everything is a Lamborghini. But the point is that if without... the time and the attention, there's nothing special about it that makes it stand out from any other car. And look, I like the car I have, but it's off an assembly line. It's not like that. And it's still cool. It's still fine. But I can't sell it for what you can sell a Lamborghini for.
Yeah. Yeah. And in 10 or 15 years, some 22-year-old's going to do what I did 26 years ago, and everyone's going to be like, oh, my God. There's a new genius in town. He's doing this show and blah, blah, because, you know, like everything old gets new again, especially when you artificially dilute it.
Yeah. See, and the thing is that where there's been really smart innovation in radio has been adapting to technology, right? So you have digital radio, you've got podcasting, you've got all these different streaming. So instead of looking at it like it's dying, it's not dying. It's evolving. Which is what's happened. And I think that shows that it's not something that needs to go away because there's always going to be a need at some point. It's not every day, but there's always going to be a need for something that is going to go live now immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's covering something happening now. It's one of the reasons why sports do so well on TV and radio, because there's an immediacy to it. It's happening now. You can't just wait for later or you're going to miss it.
Yeah, and there's a sense of community. Because, I mean, I guess you could tape the game and watch it later, but it's by no means the same experience. No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just grateful for our audience and, you know, the people leaving nice comments on the stream and stuff. We realize there are a ton of options out there, and you do have the option to just, let me do exactly what I want. Let me curate this for myself.
Yeah.
But you want to be a part of a community and you want to see what's going on live and what's happening now. And we appreciate you tuning in. It's very cool that we still get to do this.
Yeah, that's what I love about this show. Like, this is called The Complete Sheet. And everyone in the country gets this who does radio. And, you know, Andrew gives it to me every day. I look at it every day. I probably highlight, you know, it's National Hydration Day. Story about an Arby's worker who's been charged with spitting in food. Like, okay, great, resources. But there are people out there, a lot of them, who that's their radio show. They just read it. Joke, 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 joke. And what I love about this, and I know I'm tooting my horn way too much, what I love about this show, though, is it's a real relationship. And in any given four-hour period, not everything we do is going to be great. Because we're humans doing a human thing, not a fake thing, mm-hmm. where you take something that someone else has written and you pass it off as your own, and it's just banger, 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 joke, joke, joke. That's not real. That's not what humans do. This is what humans do. They talk like this. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes we get in fights. And that's what I think is the magic of the show. That's it. I think we're losing that.
Well, we're not.
No, but our society. I feel like, I feel like I'm 20 years older than I am because, but it does. It feels that way when you have tasted the nectar of life, and then they start giving you animal crackers. which are pretty good. You're like, oh, I miss the taste. I miss the taste of life. Well, I'm just going on.
I mean, I think that this show is like is still doing what you're talking about, Dave. I don't necessarily agree that that kind of flavor is going away. It might just be repackaged and on different platforms and spread out more instead of being concentrated into radio like it once was. And radio, it does seem like we do have a very special thing on this show, and like Steve gives us so much like creative input and like freedom, which is awesome. But yeah, it does feel like a lot of radio just needs to play it safer and safer to like, oh, we got to appeal to as many people as possible. You can't make your weird jokes. You can't do your weird callbacks.
Yeah.
And have your inside thing with the audience. So it's just, I feel very grateful that we get to do this here.
Yeah. Some Camo X. When I'm alone at night. Kind of interesting. We all lived through the Nancy Guthrie thing together, and it's now coming out. It makes sense because if you remember the second letter they got, their message was, "We understand. We received your message. We understand." And now they're saying that the second message was, "Hey, we apologize. Your mom died. We didn't kill her. She just died. And you can have her body back for this much money." And so from that went on, I guess that was kind of the focus of the whole thing. Like, she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, when it first started, they said that she had medication that she had to take every day or she would pass away.
Right.
Yeah,
so not surprising.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of understood from very early on that she was most likely gone.
Yes.
I think that
we were just looking for closure at a certain point.
Yeah. After a certain, what would you say, a week or two?
Easy. Yeah.
You're like, knowing what you knew about the medicine, like, and does this person have a stash of this medicine somewhere? Of course not. Like, that's movie stuff.
Yeah. Okay, to the complete sheet. It's National Hydration Day.
Hey. Let us know what you're sipping on for Thirsty Tuesday.
Thirsty Tuesday.
Having me some Diet Dew.
Nice. Same.
Got some water.
Same.
I have some Glacier Freeze.
You Gatorade, love the Gatorade.
Yeah, Gatorade's good, man. Gatorade. The best thing about Gatorade now is you've got so many options on flavors.
Yeah.
Like, you can just move them around, different ones all the time.
Yeah.
Love it.
Rach, you started the show by having an unpleasant interaction with your lip on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Get this. An Arby's worker in Oklahoma has been charged with spitting in the food of a female customer who claims she contracted oral herpes from it. The woman had open sores on her mouth. There's video. They got the video, and you can see her undo her sandwich and spit on it. And then a few weeks later, she developed cold sores, fever, blisters. Anyone who has that understands it. And evidently she was bragging around town about how she had done this.
Spitting in the food?
Yes.
Why would you do that? You're admitting to a crime.
Bragging around town.
I guess anyone who would do that would be crazy enough to...
Do you not know it's against the law?
Oh, I feel like I'm going to be sick. That's so horrible. Because, I mean, it's horrible enough to get spit in your food.
Yeah.
Especially on a joyful day like an Arby's day. Like, I love going to Arby's. Why are you going to mess up my Arby's like that? That's hurtful enough.
I like
enough.
That you took it in that direction.
Well, I got excited when you brought up Arby's at first. I'm like, oh, no. But then she has to live with herpes for the rest of her life?
Yeah.
That's so horrible. Yeah, and then they found I guess they went back and found the surveillance footage after that.
Yeah. What do you do to a person?
Hit him.
That person?
She should have spent jail time. I think if you're ever like intentionally giving someone something like that,
anything,
you should see the inside of a jail cell for a time.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a specific crime, right? Like, knowingly passing a disease on to a person, I think, is a crime. I don't know exactly what the charge is.
I mean, it's considered assault when you spit on someone. Mm-hmm. And this is a worse version of that.
Yeah. I thought this was interesting. We all know this because we're alive and not stupid. But a new study has come out from brain scientists who say that the reason everyone feels so terrible right now, even people who kind of have their personal lives together, is that the way our brains evolved was to say there's a predator nearby and that matters more than this beautiful sunset. So you prioritize bad news and anxiety and threats over, I think I'm going to go have sex with my wife. You're like, I want to fight that bear. And we still have those brains and we still do that. And people like me who have that hypercharged have generalized anxiety disorder and we see ghosts behind every tree and, you know, the whole thing. But now we're all doing that because even people who try to avoid it, this is so interesting, it's like secondhand smoke. Even people who try not to consume it are taking in so much bad news and it's affecting our brains. Makes total sense, right?
I mean, yeah. The reason that we focus a lot on negative is for that what you're saying. It's a survival. Mm-hmm. That the number one thing that all animals are wired to do is survive and continue the species.
And we are inundated with negativity all the time. It's been interesting to see these people from foreign countries coming here for the World Cup and then just having like an amazing time. Mm-hmm. And it's been like, honestly, kind of a great PR boost for the U.S. Yeah. Because we tend to think of things as being so awful and could things possibly get any worse around here? And then you have visitors come in and they're like, hey, this actually, we're having fun. Like, and people are getting along way more than maybe you would have anticipated before all of this happened. So it is a nice reminder that just because you're seeing things on the news and seeing things in your social media feed, yes, bad things are happening, but they're not happening everywhere all the time. And we still have plenty of goodness in our local communities and good experiences.
I think this dynamic is engineered, though, right?
Absolutely.
Like, people know what the human survival instincts are. They know how to manipulate large populations because they know that the survival instinct is the strongest. So if you can make people angry or scared, you can really push behavior in a direction that you want to. And that's I don't think that's a conspiracy. I think it's obvious. Look at social media. Look at how the algorithms work and how everything negative blows up and how everything that's negative gets engagement. It gets comments. It gets retweets. It gets pushed again. It gets amplified by other people. I mean, it's pretty clear that that's none of this is by accident because there are smart people that understand how the brain works.
Rach, you've had a shot fired at you.
How so?
Ben Boyd texts, no one loves Arby's.
I love Arby's.
That's
I love
false,
Arby's.
Ben. I love Arby's.
I love Arby's very much.
Arby's is fantastic.
Nah, DJ says they love Arby's.
Yeah.
You had a beef and cheddar recently, Ben?
Man.
I would say just refresh yourself.
Go get some of
them
little
that.
Sliders. Ugh,
chicken so cordon bleu sandwich?
Yeah.
You're making that up.
No, it's good.
They have like a prime rib thing going on right now, too, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too fancy at an Arby's, though.
Same. I'm going to stick with the beef and cheddar. It's just, it's nice
like
that
they did a burger for a while. I'm not doing a burger. I'm going to Arby's because I want the Arby's sandwiches.
Oh, the burger is quite good.
If I were going to get Arby's tonight for my first time, 61 years old, what would I order?
Double beef and cheddar.
Yes.
Curly
fries.
I would actually sub curly fries for a 4-count mozzarella sticks. I love their mozzarella sticks.
Or get potato cakes. Those are good there.
Those are good too. Quite delicious.
Yeah.
But yeah, double beef and cheddar.
People are coming to your defense online.
Thank you.
They love Arby's.
Arby's is great. I mean, look, Lion's Choice is better. I mean, anybody that wants to argue that is not going to get a fight. Lion's Choice
is
better.
They're different.
They're very different. Yes.
And they're different classes of restaurant.
But they're similar, like, in terms of price range. They're not that big of a difference.
Lion's Choice is quite a bit more expensive.
I would say maybe, what, $2 more a meal? That's not that much.
$4. And that's a big difference when you're eating cheap at a fast food place. Well, it's a big difference to some of us, maybe.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's not a big difference. I don't think it's that big of a difference in terms of the actual dollar difference.
I just want you all to know, if I let this go,
we'll never stop. Going past 4 o'clock.
Right, Rach?
I'll never stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up the Lion's Choice menu. I haven't eaten
if you know one thing about me, it's that I'm never going to stop.
This is interesting. Wichita says Lion's Choice depends on the location. I find that with Taco Bell.
I find that with almost every chain.
I would argue it's almost every chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like Taco Bell.
No, you're right. No, no. The range of Taco Bell is much wider than the range of Lion's Choice, right? Like, Lion's Choice, you're probably working between a 4.5 and a 10, where Taco Bell, you're working between a -4 and a 20.